Welcome to the radio.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland, your favorite show about the paranormal in the entire intergalactic armada thing we belong to. All right, we're going to get started here right now. Today, Kara, you got some news for us.
Yes, I do. A couple items for you. First of all, there was a UFO sighting in Keller, Texas. An odd tic-tac-shaped object floating motionless in the sky was caught on camera. There were no scheduled blimp flights in the area. But there was also only one individual who reported it to the authorities. Bob Lazar, the man who brought Area 51 to public consciousness, claims he's still being monitored by the government in a new documentary. Now, when I say he brought Area 51 to the public consciousness, he claimed in the 80s that he had witnessed work on flying saucers there. The documentary is called Bob Lazar, Area 51, and Flying Saucers by Jeremy Corbell, who previously did documentaries on a surgeon removing ET implants and on Skinwalker Ranch. In more macabre news, Mikhail Popkov was convicted of a further 56 murders on top of the early, on top of his earlier 22. He's a Russian serial killer, known alternatively as the Angarsk Maniac or the Werewolf. Given this, he's due to be transported to the notorious Russian prison the Black Dolphin, which is sort of the Azkaban of Russia. I guess if you only kill 20-some people, you're not bad enough to go there, but once you get over 50, then...
Yeah, it makes sense.
Then things get really serious. And finally, in more Russian news, a Russian operative, Maria Butina, is expected to plead guilty on charges of acting as a foreign agent in the U.S. without notifying the U.S. Attorney General. She's been accused of helping to illegally funnel money from Russian oligarchs to the NRA. Now, this isn't part of Robert Mueller's, special counsel Robert Mueller's well-known Russia inquiry. This is a separate matter, but it may... wind up influencing the collusion investigation. More on the story as it develops, unless Putin can pony up some serious cash, in which case I may see that it gets forgotten. Alto Nogo Vora Vesnyu, to Polto Novo Chestvyu, to Vladimir. Back to you, Chauncey.
What was that? You asking for cash? Is that how much you want?
I don't know what you're talking about, to be honest.
You're like a sleeper agent. You know, the first thing in the news that really sort of stands out to me is, like, you know, I remember, like, UFOs. There's, like, saucers. There's a bunch of saucers. Everybody's all, we're seeing saucers.
Yeah.
And then it seemed like triangles were popular. Mm-hmm. And then everybody's seeing triangles. And they're going back and they're saying, hey, there have been some older triangles. Now it seems they're all tic-tacs.
Yeah, well, to be fair, I think a saucer or a cigar or whatever you want to say would probably look kind of like a tic-tac from a distance.
Maybe.
You know,
yeah.
That's just kind of what things look like when you look at them from a great distance. There were pictures of this particular UFO encounter. You can see it at sunset. It's sort of this white blob on the horizon, and it's not moving, which is the odd part. So it's clearly not a cloud, and normally when you're talking about aircraft, they move, except maybe for blimps, which there weren't any up in the sky at the time.
So Jake Hinton, who's been on this show before, talked about haunted Okinawa. He is... He was a Marine for 8 years.
That's right.
We were talking about some of these things, he pointed out to us a murder-kill machine. Do you remember seeing the videos of this thing?
Yes. And he
every time I hear
TikTok,
I start to think that maybe Jake was right about that, you know? But you would think you would see it hopping on the horizon.
Right, and that also begs the question of what a murder-kill machine was doing in... Murder kill machine being the technical term.
I don't know if that's the word he used, but
what it was doing floating in Keller, Texas.
Right.
Well, I mean,
I don't think there's any military base, but
they
got to
test it somewhere.
Yeah, well, that's true. And why not above some random small town in Texas?
Right. Exactly. And then the other thing that, man, in the news, man, this Russia stuff seems to just be kind of going crazy, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, it's like a hydra. There's, you know, there's so many different angles and heads and branching. There's just a lot of aspects to it. This whole thing isn't even related to, as I said, to Robert Mueller's special counsel investigation. Well, not officially, anyway. It's not the same people doing it.
Yeah, but what about the karaoke? Weren't they in love?
What?
You haven't seen what I'm talking about?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
When this girl that you're talking about, what's her
Maria
name again?
Maria Butina.
Right. When she was first accused, her lawyer put out a video of her with her boyfriend doing, like, Disney karaoke in Russia. And it was supposed to illustrate how in love they were and how it wasn't really, how she's really not a Soviet operative. I'm serious. This happened.
I see. Well,
and it was ridiculous because it's like two grown people singing A Whole New World. And it's like a SNL sketch, you know. But I don't know. It's weird to think. So she's expected to plead guilty.
She is expected to plead guilty.
That she was here trying to...
Right. Well, all she's pleading guilty to is that she was representing Russia and that she didn't notify the attorney general. So I suspect the fine points of, you know, what she's accused of is trying to... basically influence the Trump campaign through the NRA and on the side, like, basically influencing the NRA with Russian money.
So I am in no way saying that the Russians doing this is acceptable. It is not acceptable. I'm not down with it. You know, everybody's concentrating on Trump, and they're saying, oh, Trump's doing this, that, and the other thing. Mm-hmm. Take Trump out of it entirely. Let's remove Trump.
Yeah.
Because a lot of this could have happened without Trump. Because a lot of it went on online. You know, a lot of it was influenced via advertising, you know, just typical advertising. I mean, and we know that that was going on. And it just makes me wonder, are all these big countries doing this to one another? Are we doing it to China and Russia, and are China doing it to us too? Is this the new world of media battle?
Yeah, you know, it's not clear.
And is the battle still democracy versus communism?
Oh, well, it's certainly not democracy versus communism, but...
Well, I mean, that's what it was for the past...
Yeah, you know. It was. I think now it's... I really don't know.
One nation
versus another, but
right.
It's not...
Right, it's like it's like digital imperialism or like...
Democracy versus... Not democracy.
Right.
I mean, Russia is in no way democratic, right?
Right, and they're also really not a communism, you know, both.
Yeah, well, they haven't been communist since the USSR fell.
Right, right.
And arguably they weren't really before.
Well.
But
yeah, China really isn't either.
Right.
All right, coming up tonight we have Jason McClellan talking about his book, Only Weirdos See UFOs.
Hmm.
Is it true? Do only weirdos see UFOs? I bet you quite a few of you out there have seen something in the night sky. Are you a weirdo? I'm sure his title is a bit tongue-in-cheek. We'll find out when we come back to Radio Wasteland with our guest, Jason McClellan.
Attention all hands. Manning the Watch is a show by veterans for veterans covering every branch of the uniformed service.
Listen every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the news and information all veterans need to know, nationally and right here in Shasta County.
Listen live or streaming on the chat room at KCNR1460.com. Welcome aboard every Saturday morning for Manning the Watch, 10 a.m. on KCNR.
This is Carl in the Bot, and there's only one place you will find a new Sleep Number dual temp layer bed. That's right, Sleep Number in Redding. Be sure to go in and see them in a Target shopping center next to the Vitamin Shop. My Sleep Number is 40, and I feel great.
Right now they're making room, so go in and receive huge savings on all Sleep Number memory foam and I-Series bed sets. My Sleep Number is 55. Go find yours today. Sleep Number in the Target Center next to the Vitamin Shop.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Merry Christmas from all of us at True Life Church. We pray that you have a wonderful celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. This is a great country that from the beginning was established with freedom of religion, a freedom to worship God as you choose. We are very thankful for the Constitution and its rule of law, and we offer a sincere thank you to the men and women who are willing to give their life and live their life to keep this country free. If you are looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at TrueLifeReading.com. We hope to see you soon. And remember, it's worth the ride.
On December 20th, a favorite State of Jefferson holiday tradition returns to Reading's historic Cascade Theater with a Celtic Christmas. Tamashine Foley's heartwarming holiday frolic returns with all new stories, music, and dances that celebrate Irish culture and the giving spirit of Christmas. A Celtic Christmas, December 20th at 7:30. Tickets at 530-243-8877 or CascadeTheater.org.
The holidays. Whether you're eating solo or treating your family, Pasta Pronto is here for you. It's a fabulous approach to traditional Italian food. Pasta Pronto is committed to provide fresh, satisfying meals and fast, friendly service in an upbeat setting. Pasta Pronto is family-owned. Martin and his staff will treat each guest as a valued friend, with comfort and satisfaction their highest priority. Pasta Pronto, 920 Hilltop, next to Reading Sports.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Jason McClellan. Jason, do we have you there with us?
I hope you have me with you.
We do. I can hear you just fine. All right, awesome. Jason, welcome to Radio Wasteland. You know, I'm going to start out with the typical question I always ask, and that is, you know, how did you get involved with UFOs, especially to the point of wanting to write a book about it?
UFOs literally landed in my lap. I don't know, you know, I didn't really have an interest in UFOs early in life. I had a casual interest. I was always a, you know, a sci-fi fan. I grew up on Star Trek and Star Wars, and I'd even seen interesting things in the sky that I could say are UFOs, but I didn't really pursue that as a career until I was working for somebody at a company just doing marketing, and that individual came in my office one day and said, you know, I've always wanted to start a company all about UFOs. So poked him a little bit, and I said, that's fascinating. Tell me more. And sort of together, we, over a period of almost a year, sort of put all the puzzle pieces together and launched a business focused on UFOs and extraterrestrials. And that business still exists to this day. I'm no longer with that company, but it's called Open Minds, and they are really the only for-profit company that's all about UFOs and extraterrestrials. But at that company, we produced a print magazine that was distributed internationally. We produced the largest UFO conference in the world. We did TV, we did radio, all sorts of things. So for a period of 6 years, I was paid a salary to be a full-time UFO researcher and investigator.
Man, that's like a dream job for a lot of people.
Exactly. I mean, nobody gets to say that, you know, and it kind of just fell on my lap, and I ran with it.
Right.
And, yeah, I mean, that was – I left that probably 4 or 5 years ago now, but I haven't been able to escape the world of UFOs because when you that's a part of your life for so long and that deep of a level, you can't escape it, and I wouldn't want to. I love weird. I love the strange. I love that exploration. So it's still a part of my life.
Did you have any concern coming out of it that if you tried to get another job, being connected to the UFOs would be an issue?
Oh, not at all. Not at all. I mean, the thing I learned very quickly being involved in the UFO field is that, and especially being involved professionally, what I learned from people outside the UFO world, you know, just the general public, is that everybody's interested in this topic in one way or another, and many of them have their own personal experiences. So, of course, the ridicule factor is there. There's a stigma surrounding the topic of UFOs, but everybody has that interest. So once they find out, when the topic is broached, when they find out that you actually do UFOs for a living and you take it seriously, they kind of giggle at first, but when they realize that you're being serious, then they open up. They're all, oh, that's cool. Yeah, my brother saw a UFO, or, you know, and the stories just start flooding out.
Yeah, UFOs seem to be one of those things that everybody has seen or not everybody has seen, but that everybody knows somebody that they find to be somewhat credible who's seen something, you know, just like ghosts. It's like these are the two sort of mainstays of the paranormal community because so many people know people that they trust who claim to have seen something. So I assume that the title of your book is somewhat tongue-in-cheek.
It absolutely is. And the important part of the book is the subtitle, of course, but I intentionally left that, you know, very long and very small. So Only Weirdos See UFOs grabs people's attention, and I love the reactions I get because I speak a lot at like Comic-Cons and UFO conferences and things like that, and I'll have a table set up with my book, and I will see those people who across the aisles will catch the title of the book will catch their eye. They'll see it. They'll read it. Then I see the forehead wrinkle. I see the head move up, and I get the stink eye, and those people come marching over and want to give me a piece of their mind. Because they've seen a UFO, and they take their UFOs very seriously, and they want to tell me, you know, how wrong I am for making fun of UFOs. I pick up the book, and I hold it in front of them, and I ask them to read the subtitle, which is An Introduction to the Public's Misperception of Unidentified Aerial Phenomena and Extraterrestrial Life. And that's really what the book's about, because still to this day, the general public views UFOs as being this silly thing, and people who see UFOs or claim to see UFOs are those uneducated hillbillies who live in, you know, the middle of nowhere, and, you know, they're just absolutely crazy. And that's not the case. People from all walks of life see UFOs every day all around the world.
Well, what I took offense to from the title is, as a weirdo who takes being a weirdo seriously, I have personally never seen a UFO.
Yeah.
But
what are you saying about weirdos?
Yeah, totally.
Well, that's the other reaction I get, because I'll get people come up and give me high fives. They're all right, weirdo right here.
Right, so, yeah, totally.
It's a celebration of owning weirdo, I love that.
That's funny.
All right, so can you give us a basic rundown of what the book's about before we go to our break?
Yeah, absolutely. So the book Only Weirdos See UFOs really tackles that, or presents the introduction to that very statement that everybody sees UFOs, and it kind of runs through and gives little examples of people from various, I guess, groupings, like musicians, celebrities, athletes, politicians, government personnel, military people. Kind of runs through and lists some of their personal sightings. Also runs through some of those different categories and talks about some well-known people and the statements they've made about their personal beliefs about UFOs and extraterrestrial life.
Mm. So going into this, were you a skeptic?
I've certainly become more open-minded, and being in this so long, I've heard so many incredible stories from high-ranking military officials, from government people, from very credible witnesses, it seems. Mm-hmm. So I've certainly entertained a lot more than I had previously. Like I said, I mean, to this day, I've seen probably a dozen what I would qualify as UFOs, things that I can't come up with a rational explanation for. And having been involved in the UFO field or so many years professionally, I got pretty darn good at being able to rule out a lot of the things that are commonly reported as UFOs.
Right, right. Okay, so of these people that you say you have people from all walks of life, and you say a lot are coming from the military. You know, what's one or two from the military that we should know about?
Well, you know, some of the more interesting ones to me involve fighter jets, because there's been so much of that in mainstream media in recent years, you know, with the stupidly named Tic Tac UFO and, you know, some of these other things. But Iran has had some really interesting military cases where they've scrambled various fighter jets over the years. And there was an article in the October 2013 issue of the military aviation magazine Combat Aircraft Monthly that detailed the history of the F-14 Tomcat and how the Iranian Air Force used that fighter. And they detail a couple of instances where those fighter jets were scrambled to intercept UFOs, and the UFO affected the fighter jets by shutting down their systems, by preventing it from firing missiles, and in some cases causing the fighter jets to explode as they took off.
Jeez.
In Iran, wow.
A fighter jet exploding is no small thing, too. That's not something you can write off. That's a, I don't know
right.
how much a fighter jet costs, millions or what, but a lot.
It's quite an expensive toy, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you would think that would be something that our news media and our government would pique interest about.
Absolutely. But there were cases just this past year, one in particular in Oregon, in the Portland area, where the ground towers were using commercial aircraft in the sky to help them identify a UFO that was in the sky. They spotted it on radar temporarily, but then that went away. But commercial aircraft were seeing this object in the sky as they were flying. So, and all of this FAA radio communication is available for the public. So you can listen to communication going back and forth where they're trying to figure out what this object is. F-15s were eventually scrambled. The military scrambled fighter jets. The fighter jets couldn't find this thing.
Yeah,
so
I think we talked about that.
There was a UFO incident where we had an unknown in the sky and we couldn't do anything about it. We couldn't find it.
So what is the military's take on this? I mean, does the military, every time a jet is scrambled for something, are they sort of obligated to put out a press release?
No, not really, but, I mean, this stuff seemingly happens quite frequently. There are frequent encounters with UFOs and commercial aircraft. And, in fact, in the UK, there's a special branch of their version of the FAA called the UK Air Prox Board that's what they do. They're specifically tasked with investigating near misses with UFOs and commercial aircraft to try to identify these things and look at it from a stance of aircraft safety.
But we don't have anything publicly like that here in the United States that we know of.
Not necessarily. The FAA has been very lax about their UFO reporting. They've always passed their UFO reports off to other organizations. But we know that up until at least 2012, the Pentagon had a program that we just learned about last December that was looking into UFOs again when the military since 1969 has told us they had no interest in UFOs anymore. But we know for a period of 5 years, from 2017 to 2012, that the Pentagon had an active UFO program.
All right. Well, we're about to go to break. You are listening to Jason McClellan here on Radio Wasteland talking about his new book, Only Weirdos See UFOs. Come on back.
Hey!
after the fires, the odds are that your HVAC system is now loaded with ash and contamination that will fill your house every time you start your heating system in the weeks ahead. Now's the time to get that ductwork cleaned and sanitized for your family's health. For more than a quarter century, Clean Air Duct Cleaning has been giving homeowners peace of mind every time their system comes on. Right now, Chris is offering up to 12 vents cleaned for $250. Get all the details at 356-4435. That's 356-4435.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial. As a community, we are all recovering from the car fire. We understand the seriousness of this disaster and the frustration of dealing with the insurance companies. Insurance policies can be very difficult to understand. If you have questions about your insurance policy and need help in any way, please feel free to give us a call at 221-0441. This is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial.
Securities offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Judy Maxwell, representative. Maxwell Insurance and Financial and Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated are not affiliated. The information presented is intended for educational purposes only. It is not intended to replace the advice of an attorney or a qualified tax professional. This is not an offer or solicitation in any jurisdiction where they are not authorized to do business. Registered branch address, 1378 Hilltop Drive, Redding, California, 96003.
Celebrate the holidays with the Grammy-winning Mariachi Los Camperos bringing their show Fiesta Navidad to the Reading Civic Auditorium Friday, December 14th. Tickets on sale now for the ultimate mariachi experience. Mariachi Los Camperos has performed on The Tonight Show and more and will be at the Reading Civic December 14th. Get tickets at ReadingCivic.com, at the Reading Civic Auditorium box office, or call 530-229-0022.
Season greetings. I'm Celestina Traver, Shasta County Veterans Service Officer and Army Veteran. The Veterans Service Office is grateful for our troops who make a courageous effort year-round. With your help, Americans continue to enjoy the liberties given to them so long ago. We thank you for your sacrifices. My staff and I would like to salute all active duty, their families, and local veterans. We wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a happy holiday season.
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton-Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west, of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Jason McClellan. We're talking about his book, Only Weirdos See UFOs. You know, before we went to break, we were talking about fighter pilots and aircraft pilots. You know, the one that's always piqued my interest is astronauts. Do you have any astronauts talking about sightings in this book?
Not in this book. There are plenty of astronauts who have broached the subject. A lot of the UFO stories with astronauts are more a twisting of words, I've found, so not truly representative of what astronauts have said about UFOs. But there are plenty who have strong opinions about UFOs and in support of extraterrestrial life, for sure. But I don't cover any astronauts in my book.
Yeah, yeah, and that's always been my interest with the astronauts, because every time somebody's saying, like, oh, well, this guy said he saw that, and these people said they saw this out the window and stuff, I always think, like, you know, how much credibility is there to this? Wouldn't it be bigger news if an astronaut was saying this?
Right, and there have been plenty of headlines in mainstream media about, you know, some things, some interviews with astronauts and the things they've said. A lot of it's taken out of context, and later these astronauts have gone to clarify themselves. But, you know, there are plenty of astronauts. Edgar Mitchell was one who's a firm believer in extraterrestrial life, in UFO visitation, things like that. Yeah. But I will say in my book, I do mention a NASA individual. His name is Richard Hoover. He is the individual who started NASA's astrobiology program. Astrobiology is the scientific study of life, and specifically life elsewhere. So scientists look at life here on Earth because that's really the only baseline we have. That's what we know. So we look at life as we know it. So we look in the most extreme environments here on Earth. So they go to Antarctica and they take deep core ice samples and look at these extremophiles, these microorganisms that can survive in the most extreme conditions here on Earth. And that gives scientists a better understanding of the possible worlds where life could exist. So the gentleman who started NASA's astrobiology program, his name is Richard Hoover. He's publicly stated many times and published papers in mainstream scientific journals to this effect, stating that we have already discovered extraterrestrial life.
Really? Then why isn't this bigger news? I don't know. I guess that's a rhetorical question. I know nobody knows.
Well, certainly, you know, people in the UFO field and, you know, dealing with UFOs and aliens, people like to feel that we're picked on, you know, and other fields don't have to deal with this. But this is standard around all scientific fields, where a scientist will put something forward and other mainstream scientists will go, ah, oh, that's ridiculous. You don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
it happens all the
true.
Time with all sorts of research, and it certainly happens a little bit more with the alien claim.
Right.
But there are several mainstream scientists who do periodically publish papers really along these same lines and with this gentleman, too. And what they're specifically referring to are what they call their fossilized life forms, fossilized diatoms. It's a type of algae. And several scientists have claimed that we've definitively proven that these things are extraterrestrial, and we've found them multiple times over. Hmm. But other scientists say, nah, that can't be. That's got to be contamination.
Right.
And so there's a lot of poo-pooing going on. But, you know, I don't know, you know, who's right, but it's certainly something to consider, and it's hard to, you know, deny something that a person who's spent their lives specifically focused on this type of life, who's saying, I know my stuff, and I know that is extraterrestrial.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that makes sense. I mean, it's not so hard to squash your scientific competitors. I mean, just take a look at back in the beginning. I mean, if it wasn't for Haley, Isaac Newton would have been squashed had he not come along and saved his career. You know, can't help it. Got to know, what are some of these celebrities that you are referencing in here? You said some musicians and celebrities?
Yeah, sure. Sammy Hagar, he's always been vocal about his extraterrestrial beliefs and extraterrestrial encounters.
Well, he was drunk on tequila. I'm not sure he counts.
Well, that's true. And he said that, you know, it might have played a role in some of it. But no, he's got some elaborate stories about encounters with beings, and he's even gone on TV and interviews and talked about that. He published a book, I think in 2011, called Red, My Uncensored Life in Rock, and that includes some of his encounters there. But he also went on the Dr. Drew show and shared those encounters with him. Pretty crazy stuff, but there are so many. Dan Aykroyd.
Really?
Nick
Dan
Jonas,
Aykroyd.
Casey Musgraves. Tom DeLonge is certainly one, and I'd love to bring him up because he's doing so many exciting things right now in the world of UFOs, because he started his own company that has a large component focused on UFOs.
Yeah, he's a weird one to me because he really just sort of, when I heard about it, it was, you know, as a guy who really kind of grew up in the punk scene, you know, and they were sort of after me. We kind of considered them some MTV punk or whatever.
Right.
You know, it was hard for me to put any credibility behind it because the high school Chauncey, who still hides in the back of my brain, was just all, this is lame, you know, but it just seems to get bigger and bigger. So, you know, I don't know. What do you think? Is there credibility to what he's doing?
Well, I will preface this by saying I am biased because I did actually work for Tom. So,
well, don't tell him I said that.
Yeah, no. But no,
this is just between you and me, right?
at the start of To the Stars, I did work with Tom, but you know, stepping back and looking objectively, I mean, I even was one of the first people in the UFO field to interview Tom because I was aware of his fascination with UFOs because he'd always been vocal about it. And so in 2012, I believe, I did an interview with Tom and talked about that. And, you know, at that time, he had been seriously researching the UFO subject for a longer period of time than most of the key players in the UFO field, the biggest UFO researchers. And people laugh when I say this, but I still stand by this claim. You know, I've met pretty much everybody in the UFO field. I know all of the leading researchers. And Tom is probably the most well-read person I've ever met on the subject of UFOs.
Really?
Really.
Hmm. Yeah, that's totally interesting because, you know,
might not always come across like that, but, you know, he is a rock star.
Well, no, I understood that. So when I heard this stuff coming out, you know, a big part of me was like, are they latching on to his rock star status and giving him more credibility, thinking that it's going to sell something? You know what I mean?
Well, it's, you know, you can't deny that that's opening a lot of doors, and it certainly has. It's given him access to high-level people, and now those high-level people are on his team with To the Stars Academy of Arts and Science. And, yeah, they're doing some exciting things, and they've got TV shows coming out now. They've got movies coming out. They just today, Variety announced that they signed a deal with TBS for one of his animated paranormal series called Strange Times. So he's a mover and shaker and, you know, certainly given us a lot to talk about. I mean, it's his group that's responsible for giving us the fun Tic Tac to talk about,
right,
and for exposing Pentagon's program, ATIP is what it was called. So, you know, he's one of the most exciting people to watch right now in the UFO field, and people like to criticize him and make fun of him because he's just Tom DeLonge from Blink-182.
Right.
But, you know, I got to give the guy props. He's done a lot.
Well, I will definitely give him a reconsideration, and there's, you know, you can't argue with results, and, man, I hope he gets some, and, you know, I hope.
That's right. And even if he gets nothing, you know, it doesn't hurt me, and I don't understand, you know, people like to give hate in the UFO field, you know, for other people trying to do things their way. I think more the merrier, right? I mean, let's try all the things and let everybody do all their things, and if we get something out of it, great.
I absolutely agree, especially when we're dealing with something that has the word unidentified at the beginning. You know,
right.
We're obviously dealing with a broad topic to deliver. You know, the one thing that I've been really kind of thrown off with it, with the change in the UFO community, is that the sort of overtaking of the spiritual aspect of it. You know, there's this whole influx of this spiritual movement in there. What's your take on that stuff?
Man, there's a little click of everything in the UFO world, and that spiritual thing, it plays a large role, or certainly has a large population within the UFO community. That's not my scene, you know. I'm more of the scientifically minded kind of nuts and bolts area, so I haven't gravitated towards any of that, because I'm also more of a journalist, and I like to approach this subject with the cautious skepticism that it deserves. But with the spiritual stuff, and with even some of the more overcomplicating the UFO topic by itself, by, you know, trying to force explanations, like interdimensional beings or, you know, us from the future, all these things that, you know, become trendy in explaining what UFOs are, where they're coming from, or what intentions might be. You know, I think it's because researchers get bored and they feel like they need to come up with something new.
Right. Yeah.
That's my opinion. And, you know, they some of the less savory researchers, I think, do that because they're catering to an audience that's hungry for answers. And I think that's irresponsible and sloppy, but there are people out there who are happy to do it.
Right. Well, nothing brings the masses like fear and answer. All right. You're listening to Jason McClellan here on Radio Wasteland. When we come back, we're talking about his book, Only Weirdos See UFOs. And I want to ask you what you find to be the most credible sighting you got in there.
Well, I was standing on a corner with my hands in my pockets, and I was waiting for a call. Picked up my phone and spoke in Espanol, but she didn't even know it all.
Is that jolly old soul in the department store really Santa Claus? Let the magic of the season sweep over you as you find out with little Susan if Kris Kringle is who he claims to be, or if he's just a lost soul caught up in the wonder of the holiday. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present Miracle on 34th Street, written by Valentine Davies, directed by Jennifer Levins. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store on Placer Street in Reading. Showtime's Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinee at 2, November 17th through December 15th.
When you need assistance applying for veteran benefits, consider utilizing the Shasta County Veteran Service Office. Our veteran representatives are all military veterans that are highly trained and fully accredited, giving you the best support possible. This is Celestina Traver, your Shasta County Veteran Service Officer. We welcome you to our office at 1855 Shasta Street to see what benefits are awaiting you. Please call us at 225-5616.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts, with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction with your security tip of the day. If it doesn't look right, it probably isn't. Many people hang around to investigate what may be a crime only to become a victim themselves because they confront a violent criminal. Leave the area and call your local law enforcement agency immediately. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday on your locally owned community talk station, KCNR, 1460 AM, coming soon to 96.5 FM. Tuesday, we welcome Brent Weaver, local business owner and former Reading City Council member and mayor. We'll talk about the high and low points of the past 4 years in Reading and what Brent sees in the future from a business perspective. Your calls and comments welcome by phone or in the chat room at KCNR1460.com. Free Fire Radio. Miss a day. Miss a lot.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Jason McClellan. We're talking about his books, Only Weirdos See UFO. Jason, what do you find to be the most credible sighting that you have reported on in here?
Well, I think there are plenty of credible ones. You know, certainly thinking about like Ronald Reagan, and we have presidents seeing UFOs. That's kind of something that you scratch your head and go, "Oh, maybe I should pay attention to this." But you know, people see UFOs all the time, and I think witnesses are generally credible when they're talking about something, depending on what the situation was. But I will point to the Phoenix Lights. You might be familiar with the Phoenix Lights.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
the largest mass UFO sighting in modern times, and it occurred in March of 1997. And in the book, I specifically mentioned Fife Symington, who was Arizona's governor at the time of the Phoenix Lights. And so the Phoenix Lights spawned national and international headlines, and a couple months after the incident, Fife Symington held a notorious press conference where he seemingly made fun of the event. He dressed his head of staff in an alien costume and brought him out and said, "I found the person who was responsible," and had this guy dressed as an alien and took that mask off and said, "This just goes to show you guys are taking this way too seriously." So that pissed a lot of UFO people off. You know, they thought he wasn't taking it seriously because this was, you know, a very pretty serious situation where we had this, there were multiple events, but really massive, like multiple football field-sized craft that traversed the state was one of the things that occurred that night. The other was a series of seven lights that hung motionless in the sky. People wanted answers. You know, that's pretty freaky stuff. And here Symington seemingly was making fun of it. But years later, he went on CNN in 2007, to talk about the Phoenix Lights, and he admitted that he, too, saw a craft that night, and he's since done many interviews since then about this incident, and he said that what he saw that night was not of this earth.
Yeah, I have to admit that the Phoenix Lights are one of those ones that when I look at it and I look at the video of it, you know, other than the government stupidly testing drones that work in unison for the seven lights or something like that, I mean, why would they test it over literally one of the most populated cities in the country? You know, it's ridiculous. I find that one to be just absolutely amazing. That's one of the ones that makes me question what's going on.
Well, and here's Symington, the state's governor. He couldn't get answers. He was stonewalled every place he went. He went to Luke Air Force Base, and they wouldn't give an answer. They denied having anything to do with it for the longest time. Then they finally said, "Oh, yeah, we were dropping flares then," but the time that they said they were dropping flares didn't align with when the instances happened. But also, I saw the Phoenix Lights. You know, I live in Arizona. I grew up out in the desert. I was outside that night, and I observed the lights myself for 40 minutes. But I also grew up with a line of sight to the Barry Goldwater Range, where the flares were frequently dropped. So I was well aware of what military flares look like. Those weren't flares. But the fact that Symington, a governor and former military pilot, saw this thing that night and said, "We don't have anything like that. That clearly is not from this planet." You know, that's pretty exciting.
So did the governor ever say why he did the whole stupid alien suit thing?
He sure did. He said his intent was only to try to calm people down, to prevent panic. He said that he feels the role of people in public office like that is to keep people calm. So
yeah.
that was what he was trying to do.
And I get that. I do. I mean, I get that. You know, it may not be exactly what I want, but, you know, I mean, I get the feeling of the need to
do
that,
absolutely.
I guess. But, yeah, that is definitely the one that is actually most mind-blowing for me as well. So what do you got coming up here next in your life there, Jason?
Well, I'm always entirely too busy. I do have a couple other books in the works, but I'm not ready to announce details on those yet, but they are UFO-related, of course. But I do run a website called RoguePlanet.tv. That's my media company where I focus all my strange efforts now, and I've got a great team with me, and we do podcasts and web series and all sorts of stuff. So I've got a UFO podcast called Unknown that I do. But I also, like I said, I speak at a lot of Comic-Cons and things like that. So I just spoke at AlienCon in Baltimore, and there's another one coming up in Los Angeles, and those things are just massive and fun. I can't believe how big they are. AlienCon is fairly new, but it's like a hybrid of Comic-Con and a UFO conference, and it's put on by the people who do Ancient Aliens. So it's meant to be like an Ancient Aliens fan fest,
mm-hmm.
but it is incredible. I mean, they get tens of thousands of people at these things, and they fill convention centers. It's unreal.
And
so I'll probably be popping into the L.A. one, too. You have to check it out for nothing else.
Yeah, and they have just a like a lot of credible speakers and stuff like that. So this Alien Con, actually, we had a guest on before, Ryan Sprague, and he had spoken at one of these. And so Alien Con, when it's in Baltimore and when it's in L.A., it's the same.
The same thing, yeah.
Same people putting it on.
Baltimore's the first time they tested out doing something on the East Coast, so I think they're going to bounce back and forth every 6 months or so. But yeah, Ryan and I did some panels together in Baltimore.
Interesting, because I've seen some of these conventions, and I think, man, I'd really like to go. I wish that it was closer to me, and so I like the idea of the Turing Convention. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, and I think the LA one is going to be a lot of fun. Tons of people. It's going to be great, and they do cosplay there and stuff, so people are in costumes. You don't get that usually at UFO conferences, because a typical UFO conference is largely academic. And the people there kind of frown on lighthearted anything with UFOs and extraterrestrials. They don't want to see costumes. They don't want to see, Spock ears, anything that makes light of the UFO topic.
Well, that stuff's so fun. A friend of ours, a friend of the show, William Pullen, he always goes to the Roswell Festival. And I just saw
him in Roswell this last year.
Yeah, I see all his pictures, and they look so much fun.
Yeah.
And plus, I take my kids to cosplay conventions. They love them, and it's really just a lot of fun,
Yeah, I agree 100%.
All right. Well, thank you very much for being on the show. You've been listening to Jason McClellan talking about his book, Only Weirdos See UFOs. Jason, before we go to break, where can people find that book?
On Amazon. You can find it. More information at rogueplanet.tv or just Amazon.
Sounds good. Jason McClellan, Only Weirdos See UFOs. Check out the book. You've been listening to Radio Wasteland.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday on your locally owned community talk station, KCNR, 1460 AM, coming soon to 96.5 FM. Tuesday, we welcome Brent Weaver, local business owner and former Reading City Council member and mayor. We'll talk about the high and low points of the past 4 years in Reading and what Brent sees in the future from a business perspective. Your calls and comments welcome by phone or in the chat room at KCNR1460.com. Free Fire Radio. Miss a day, miss a lot.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Reading, by Tobacco and Brew. Come